show here something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
The Cell Signal Storm Podcast.
Going somewhere with this, so I am begging your indulgence, my friends. Mrs. Salcedo is reading, actually listening to an audiobook. It is based on different eras throughout human history, and one of them happens to be focused on the Nazi era, World War II. And one of the aspects being focused on are the atrocities the Nazis committed against the Jews and the so-called advancement of medical technology. I'm reading from the Holocaust Encyclopedia, and trust me, I'm going someplace with this, so hang with me, please. Nazi medical experiments. During World War II, a number of German physicians conducted painful and often deadly experiments on thousands of prisoners without their permission. Consider the inhumane conditions, lack of consent, and questionable research standards. Modern scientists overwhelmingly reject the use of results from experiments in those camps. Key facts. Many German physicians and scientists supported racial hygiene ideas before the Nazi rise to power. From 1933 on, they embraced the new regime's emphasis on biology and heredity, the new career opportunities, and the additional funding for research. Experiments centered around three topics: survival of military personnel, testing of drugs and treatments, and the advancement of Nazi racial and ideological goals. And number three, after the war, only a few of the biomedical experts who helped to implement and to legitimize Nazi racial hygiene policies were ever indicted or disciplined professionally. Many continued in their careers. And it's well documented that, sadly, American medical knowledge was advanced by the atrocities, and worldwide medical knowledge was advanced on the atrocities of the Nazis. Folks, we're talking about, well, this is one account that was brought up in the book Mrs. Salcedo is listening to. There was an account of how the Nazis would slice off appendages from Jews and then try to reattach them to see if they could. And if they couldn't, oh, well, it's just a Jew. There were other experiments that they used to test the drugs, as we just outlined from the Holocaust Encyclopedia. They would put the patient out, and then they would simulate a bomb explosion on an appendage. Like, for example, a leg, they would slice it up, they would stuff dirt and infection and all kinds of stuff into the wounds of the Jew, wake the Jew up, and then administer drugs. And whichever ones recovered, hey, those drugs are good for use. Those who died, well, oh well, just a Jew. That's the mentality that was present in Nazi Germany. And most of us, by our modern world standards, by Christian standards, find it abhorrent. I'm reminded of a Star Trek episode, and I know many of you know I'm a huge fan of sci-fi. This is The Next Generation, back in the 1980s. Dr. Beverly Crusher was the Enterprise's doctor. And it just so happens in this episode that the Klingon on board, Mr. Worf, he suffered an injury, a spinal injury. And it just so happens that Dr. Crusher was hosting a renowned doctor on the Enterprise. And she happened to be there, and she tried an experimental procedure to help Worf walk again. And of course, he was a warrior and he needed his mobility, so he was going to off himself because he could no longer be an effective warrior. So even though it was a procedure that was untested and Worf could have very well died, he was going to kill himself anyway, so he said, "Do it to me." And again, Dr. Crusher was objecting every step of the way, saying, "You're giving him false hope. You're going to kill him." Well, it turns out the cure worked. And it turns out that this experiment worked. And there was a a very insightful dialogue at the end of the episode where this doctor, this experimental doctor, said to Beverly Crusher, saying, you know, you just can't give me the credit. I saved his life. It was my innovation that saved his life. And then Dr. Crusher looks up and says, you know, I am thrilled that Worf is going to make a full recovery. But she says, you scare me, doctor. You know, real research takes years of painstaking, methodical research and development. But not for you. You take shortcuts, doctor, and you cut right through human tissue. So you gambled and Worf won. And that was the lesson. And of course, that was Star Trek back then, back when there was morality and ethics, in the Hollywood left. But you understand the broader point here, that there were ethical boundaries. We don't emulate what the Nazis did, because saying, and there were some Nazis who got out there and said, you know, go easy on us, because look at the advancements. We slaughtered thousands of Jews. We caused them unspeakable, unimaginable pain. But look at all the good we did for humanity, quote unquote. Yeah, the Aryan race, right? Look at all the good we did. Look at the advancements. And a lot of these Nazis used that as a justification to go easy on them. So let me ask you all a question. As we're talking about the shortcuts that were taken right through human tissue, what was the difference between what the Nazis did in World War II and what His Eminence Dr. Fauci and the big pharma companies and the U.S. government did to our citizens with the China virus vaccines? What's the difference? Dr. Robert Malone joins me next. We'll break down some of the latest in the fight to bring justice to those who, in my opinion, use the China virus pandemic to cut right through living human tissue. That's next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsors.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Tired of cable news lying to you? It's time the establishment media went the way of the dinosaurs and for free digital journalism to rise. At Texas Scorecard, we bring you real news for real Texans with no paywalls ever. Go to TexasScorecard.com today.
Folks, I want to bring in my guest, Dr. Robert Malone, no stranger to the Salcedo Storm podcast. Internationally recognized scientist in virology and immunology. He's a bioethicist, an author, and the co-creator of the mRNA technology used in some of the controversial China virus vaccines. Dr. Malone, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Good to be here. So, I hope you're having a great day.
I am. And so before when we were started talking, before we pushed record on the podcast, you were telling me part of your biography. I had no idea that before you became a scientist and a doctor, you were a carpenter and what else?
And a farmhand.
Get out!
Yeah, I have planted a stupid amount of avocados. I can put in your drip system anytime, and drill the holes and run the tractor and everything else.
That is so cool. So, folks, what we were talking about is I was letting him know that because Dr. Malone has been with me on the Newsmax show. He's been with me on the radio show. And I said, unlike those shows, you know, we can have more freewheeling, loose conversations, including some adult language. And he was warning me, be careful. I was a carpenter before I became a physician and a scientist. I'm like, I just start dropping some F-bombs on me or something like that. I had no idea.
We'll just park that for now and hold it until after we hit stop record.
There you go. Or until we get a couple of adult beverages in. Look,
or we start talking about Tony Fauci or Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, then there's that. You know, I wanted the reason I reached out to you initially, and by the way, the emails I'm getting for you are Substack articles you're writing. Is that where I'm getting these from? Is that the source material?
Yeah, somebody must have subscribed you to our Substack, or if you didn't.
Yeah, well, I subscribed to you, and I didn't know if it was a Substack content, but I know I subscribed to your letter.
Yeah, so that's Substack is the tool.
Okay.
I started doing Substack right before I got deplatformed from Twitter, about a month before, which was a good thing.
Yes.
And I did it based on the advice of a gentleman you may know named Steve Kirsch.
I do know the name.
Who called me up one day and he said, "Robert, you got to get on Substack. I can't believe it. I made $30,000. Of course, the guy's a multimillionaire.
Right. And you know, it's something that I have been tempted to look into. It's just, you know, as mentioned, podcast, radio show, television show, it occupies a lot of my time. But
we put out an essay a day, except on Fridays and Sundays we put out the funnies. And sometimes we put out a column, but it is 7 days a week. We treat it like a job, and we treat our subscribers like customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always run a consulting business pretty much for the last couple of decades. And so when I say treat them like customers, I'm quite serious about that. And we're hitting, this is not bragging, on a daily basis, it's being viewed. So those are views, not sins. Between 500,000 and 1,000,000.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. You know what? And I've got to say, every single time we have you on the podcast and we send you the podcast and you blast it out, that network of folks who are dying to get informed, our numbers on the Salcedo Storm podcast go through the roof. So
great. I'm glad to hear that.
Your distribution is just is amazing. And the reason, folks, the first article I want to address is that Dr. Malone was in my state, in the great state of Texas, Representative Brian Harrison, among other lawmakers, trying to get a handle on preventing medical tyranny in the future. So at the very last minute, Dr. Malone was called in to give some last minute testimony. And here's the headline and the subheadline: my testimony on Texas State Senate HHS bills. It's always the right time to do the right thing. So when you got to Texas, what were some of the questions you got, and what was some of the testimony you gave?
So this is the most comprehensive roster of COVID-related bills. I've testified in many states, as have many of my physician colleagues. I think we get a gold star for helping stop the vaccine mandates in Louisiana on children, mm-hmm. and also getting Tennessee to approve ivermectin over the counter. This is my second time going to Texas. The first was in the summer to the same committee where they wanted a more open testimony about my advice and what had happened in Texas. And then this time there was just a bunch of bills, and it was all a blur. I had invited testimony at the start, and then just a series. They would bring up each bill. And pretty much all of them, I approached it as if I was their consultant.
Okay.
Which the chair apparently appreciated, I'm told. And my goal was not to pursue a political agenda, but rather to just help them make the bills better to the best of my ability. And so one of the things that I'm really pleased with is the bill to ban gain-of-function research. And I suggested, for instance, in particular, that they don't just limit that to human pathogens, but also include veterinary pathogens, because, you know, bugs are bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And also that they add in the language, not just gain of function, but also directed evolution. This is this new sneaky term that's being used as a substitute for directed evolution for the people that want, like Tony, that want to say, "Oh no, we're not doing gain of function research. We're doing directed evolution," right? Like that young gentleman from, let's call him the ESG hire, that got caught by the Project Veritas honey trap.
Yep.
That worked for Pfizer.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to characterize him any further. Thank you. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know exactly. By the way, as a side note, folks, that is what we are told led to the creation of OMG, O'Keefe Media Group, as O'Keefe, the biggest story Project Veritas has ever broken was that story, and his own board flipped on him. I gotta ask. Just since you went there, I just gotta ask: how much money do you think that Big Pharma pumped into that board to oust James O'Keefe to get him out from telling the truth?
I have no idea. I do know that many of us that have been speaking out are just getting hit by a troll army now. Mm-hmm. It's like there's just been a tidal wave of trolls and bots hitting us on, particularly on Twitter. It's just nonstop. And it's funny because certain posts will bring them out and other ones won't. It's kind of surprising to me. I have no idea what the trigger, you know, it's like food. You're not sure what it is that's driving them out of the bushes, but by God, when they swarm, they do.
Yes, like any pathogen, they tend to metastasize over certain cancers. I say not pathogens, cancers. They metastasize.
For some reason, rodents comes to mind. Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, yeah, I can definitely understand why. So, so the gain of function research, as you rightly point out, that Dr. Tony Fauci says that is not being done so he can hide the malfeasance that he's already undertaken, because Barack Hussein Obama put the kibosh on that here. And of course, Dr. Fauci, thinking he knows more than anybody, decided to circumvent that using communist China.
Did you see the NPR interview?
I did.
PBS? He brags that the Biden administration wouldn't make any decisions unless they got his approval. I mean, who's in the bloody White House? No wonder they pay him more than the president.
It's outrageous. And I saw the part of that. I think it was NPR, our taxpayer funded fake journalism. This was in 2021, folks. And they had video of Dr. Fauci pushing his vaccines and Muriel Bowser of Washington pushing the vaccines, and just normal everyday Americans. This gentleman happened to be a black man. They weren't buying it. They were back in the...
Yeah, that was great.
I know.
That was classic.
Common sense Americans know something isn't right when you're having to pay folks to take a vaccine. A lot of folks intuitively know there's something not right here. This isn't America. This isn't American medicine. Am I right, Dr. Malone?
Well, I don't know that that's true. It kind of is American medicine now, frankly. This is... Post Obamacare, everything is a hot mess, and it's all driven by the big boys from the big investment funds. It's, you know, that's what's driving it. But regarding Tony, I was speaking to, let's say, gently, a Senate investigator who is a former federal investigator, who told me that Tony's been hired back. And she can't get to the bottom of how they hired him or what his new job position is, but it came with a little cadre of six Department of Health and Human Services security guards and managers that drive him around and ensure that he's fully protected wherever he goes. That's on top of his retirement package, which I understand is bigger on an annual salary basis for his retirement than the salary of the president is.
It is.
And I forgot all the money that he got from the royalties that Moderna paid.
Oh, dear Lord. I am so tired of
And I just learned today that he's inked a book deal with Penguin with a $5 million advance, the poor guy.
I am so tired of my taxpayer dollars going to this man. I really am.
I think he can afford to buy his own drivers. What do you think?
You think? I'm right there with you. Dr. Robert Malone, folks, our guest right now, folks. He is world renowned. He is an actual doctor, a scientist. Somebody knows what he's talking about. Unlike the aforementioned His Eminence, Dr. Fauci. Let me ask you, what else in Texas?
His Imperial Eminence.
Yes, I'm sorry. Did I genuflect? Did I do the right sign of what? Yeah, exactly. Yes.
No, you have to bow. It's China, remember?
China. You got to bow. So, look, what other bills caught your attention in Texas? That they're doing the right thing. They're on the right track. And how did you guide them?
So another one that's really exciting is. They put in a bill to build their own VAERS system. And my advice to them is don't mimic a, you know, POS failed system that HHS has been running for decades and was told by Congress to build a better system. And they did, by the way, Chris, and they ran that system, and the data they got back from their pilot testing they didn't like, and so they killed the whole project, which is why we still got VAERS. Okay. But what I suggested to in my testimony on that particular bill was I talked about the fact that it takes docs about half an hour on a good day to enter something into VAERS. You know, at an hourly rate for a practicing physician, you know, figure that one out. So it's at least half an hour. Often the system will kick you out after half an hour. And it's all fill in the box stuff. It's not drop down. As I was saying to one of the senators, it's like it was written in COBOL. and he totally got that because he and I both were COBOL programmers. And I said, I am positive that the state of Texas can run circles around the CDC in developing a software package to capture this data. And so there ensued a discussion about whether or not the state of Texas could get any other states to take. I think they were suddenly seeing dollar signs and return on investment. But I'm glad. So that was really encouraging. Is they want to build their own VAERS. They want to fund a major study to really dive into not just the COVID vaccines, but I think all vaccines safety and effectiveness. That would be huge.
Yeah.
Now, they had some other bills where they were going to require physicians to report all adverse events after vaccination for like a year or two after vaccination. And I was just like, guys, if you do that, every physician in the state of Texas is going to be banging on your door because the burden of what you're talking about, you really don't understand.
Right.
So I kind of tried to walk them through. I mean, I'd love it if something could be done, but what I told him was that the cost burden alone on that would be enormous. And I just don't see how, you know, and they were talking about doing it in a way that there would be penalties on physicians if they didn't fully comply.
See.
So I tried to walk them through what that would really require. And I think that carried the day. I think after I finished with that, they were sick and tired of listening to me nitpick.
Well, look. I think you bring up a great point. Compliance is already so much of a burden on physicians. And this is an issue, full disclosure. I have a very close family member of mine as a nurse practitioner. Just the compliance that they have to go through.
It's what's killed independent medical practice.
Yes.
The new under Obamacare, bless their hearts. it has become so burdensome that docs are basically just saying, I've had it, and selling out to these big chains, which have the money to set up their own little infrastructure of gnomes to fill out paperwork. They get the cost savings associated with scale. And all the docs, and this is why there's been no independence or autonomy in the docs, is because they've all been herded into corporate America.
Yep.
And doing the bidding of Wall Street because they couldn't afford to hire additional staff in a system funded by Medicare, Medicaid, in which they barely can, you know, make a nickel. They've squeezed everything out of it. This is why we had all of these perverse financial incentives to the hospitals for COVID. You know, all the extra payments for remdesivir and ventilators and death and diagnosis and all that. It's because the Fed said no more elective procedures and the hospitals would all go broke. because that's they make their bucks on the elective procedures. Right. And so it was a quid pro quo that got us in this situation where the way I hear the story from people like Nurse Erin, in New York City, they were basically scraping people off the streets and rushing them into hospitals and dropping a tube down them and killing them with remdesivir, but picking their, you know, extra fee. You know, every body resulted in a little extra ka-ching in the cash register from the feds. It's just like, you know, this has become one of my favorite quotes from Hannah Arendt, the great philosopher of the 20th century, who is a Holocaust survivor. And in her book, Eichmann in Jerusalem, where she's covering the trial of Eichmann, she coined the term the banality of evil. Mm. And to describe Eichmann as basically, you know, banal, but and not necessarily evil, but just somebody who didn't think. And all he was doing was pursuing career advancement and doing what he thought his supervisors wanted. And in so doing, he performed some of the most evil acts of the 20th century. Just the same as the folks working on the railroads in Nazi Germany knew that they were shipping the Jews off to the ovens, but they thought it was their job to do it more efficiently. I mean, this the banality of evil and the failure to think through and the failure of administrative state type bureaucrats to recognize that as they sit in their little silos, they're doing evil work. I mean, if you want to go there, they're doing the work of the devil by pushing this stuff, these really fundamentally twisted policies like jabbing the kids or the coercion and mandates and all that. Oh, by the way, here's another fun fact I just picked up from another colleague who I have to keep anonymous. She's a captain level JAG in the U.S. Navy. I won't say any more. And the Navy has apparently conceded and stopped the jab mandates.
Right.
So that includes airmen. And rumor has it that there are further agreements in pending right now concerning the outcome of those poor souls that got run out of the military or at least out of the Navy. So stay tuned. I always say there is no justice, but there might be some modicum for our servicemen, I hope, who've been so put upon during this outbreak.
Well, amen to that. And before I get on to the next bit of stuff I wanted to focus on, another article you had sent me, you touched on something with saying, do you want to go there about evil? Yes, I do. And you brought up the kids because you and I have talked extensively about how children, since the beginning of the pandemic, this is the one fact that has been consistent throughout the pandemic and what we know now 2 years later about how this virus progresses, that children have never been at statistical risk for hospitalization or death because of the China virus, unless they had severe pre-existing conditions.
So yeah, cancer or cystic fibrosis, right. Advanced cystic fibrosis or something like that.
The mortality rate for children is near zero for normal, healthy children. And that was buried by the media. That was buried by His Eminence, Dr. Fauci. That was buried by a woke social agenda that said, you know what, jab your six-month-old kid, because it became a status symbol.
To save grandma, right?
Right.
That was Big Bird.
Yep.
And CNN.
Yep.
And that was all. So the other thing, I talk about this in the book in one of the chapters. There was actually a prospective randomized six-month follow-up clinical trial at Yale University before they ever had a vax, in which they had 10 different messages that they tested out to see which one was going to be more effective to get people to take the jab and to convince other people to take the jab. Okay, so they put like more bloody effort into their propaganda than they did into making sure that the vaccines were safe and effective. And then that is the source. What they found out was the best way is to manipulate people by guilt tripping them, which is why we ended up with all this messaging about you're going to kill grandma.
Yep.
Because it was tested in a bloody randomized clinical trial as the best way to guilt trip people into doing what the government wanted them to do.
And if that, and if your motivation is to pad the pockets of Big Pharma and to get the government to do what you want to do, and you're willing to sacrifice your children's health on a vaccine that has no 1, 3, 5, or 10-year studies on it, and have you have no idea what it's going to do to young tissue, reproductive tissue, and the like, that is the definition, Dr. Malone, I would submit, of evil.
And of child abuse. And then, as if that isn't bad enough, there is the pregnant women.
Oh, well, that's you took me right where I wanted to go. Dr. Robert Malone, internationally recognized scientist in virology and immunology, bioethicist, and this is key, a bioethicist that has a big problem with exactly what we've been discussing right now about the motives of those in government. This is the Substack report that you sent me, 3,631 reports of miscarriages and fetal deaths in Europe. And it is shocking to see, but I guess the big question here is, Dr. Malone, somebody knew. Do you think somebody knew about this?
Yeah, and basically they covered it up. So there's this interesting story. Pfizer was supposed to do a robust randomized clinical trial. I think it was 3,000 women in pregnancy. And they launched the trial, and they got about 330. It was randomized, so there was truly a control group, okay? And as I recall, that control group got a real placebo, okay? Which, as if you've read Turtles All the Way Down, you know that that's like never done in vaccinology. They always compare one vaccine to another vaccine. Mm-hmm. They never compare one vaccine to a placebo. So they were doing a real randomized clinical trial in pregnancy in Pfizer, and they got up, and so it's two groups. So they were up to about 330 women enrolled, which means that you had basically 165 in each arm, okay? Which means that you can pick up something, an adverse event rate of about 1 in 50 statistically. It's the rule of three, okay? So that's where they were at with 330 out of like 3,000 enrolled. And then suddenly, out of the blue, for some crazy reason, the FDA and the CDC declare that this is safe and effective for pregnancy. And then suddenly Pfizer has to shut down the trial because it's no longer ethical, because it's been proven by the CDC with no data.
Right.
They've just you know, pulled it out of a dark place that it's safe and effective. And so therefore they have to go ahead and jab all of the control women. And that finished over a year ago, and they still haven't looked at the data, ostensibly. That's mm-hmm. the official party line. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It just goes on and on and on. There's no shame.
I know.
That's the bizarre thing. There's no shame.
Or accountability. And that's...
What's been traced down now, there's been some really good stuff done on Substack. I think Bailiwick News is the Substack column, where they've looked, the author has meticulous, she's a legal aide, she's meticulously gone through and listed all the bills that have been passed that have eroded the fundamentals of bioethics over the last like 20 years. It's been a systematic chipping away, so that now that's the reason why they're able to blow through all of the Nuremberg agreements, you know, Helsinki, Common Rule, all that is legislatively, they've eroded all that ostensibly in the guise of expediency. If we ever have a big outbreak, you know, public health crisis, et cetera. But Chris, this is the thing about all this, like Event 201 and all that planning, mm-hmm. okay, where they came up with all these totalitarian measures, right, that got deployed all over the English-speaking world, the Five Eyes nations, right, New Zealand and Canada and all that. That was all, right in Event 201. And the assumptions of Event 201 was that we had a highly lethal virus, false. A safe and effective vaccine, false. And no drugs that would work, false. Okay? But they never reevaluated those assumptions. They just went the best metaphor I have is you give a three-year-old a hammer, everything becomes a nail. They just went along driving the nails in without thinking, and we all got the short end of it.
Yep.
You know,
mindless bureaucracies do that, and that is why the Chris Salcedo Show axiom exists, that it's best not to give government more power, lest it be abused, i.e. the hammer. Because guess what? They take the hammer, they're going to abuse it. Everything becomes a nail, as Dr. Malone said. Now, look, if you're not comfortable with it, don't feel bashful about telling me you're not, but we have an issue in this country, a mental health issue in this country, and it has come up in recent weeks because of a high-profile shooting up in Nashville, as you know.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the POTUS.
No, well, wait a minute. I am. See, you read my mind, mind reader. So we have here a mental health crisis, and the Democrats and the leftists want to say it's a firearm and a rights crisis, which I fundamentally disagree.
It's a coming to grips with reality crisis.
Then there's that. But I want to talk about the mental acuity of the occupier of the Oval Office. When the tragedy became known, the occupier of the Oval Office, Beijing Biden, took to the podium and he was going to address this very somber killing of three innocent children at a Christian academy and three teachers. And this is how Joe Biden started his press conference. I want you to hear it and evaluate. Listen.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs. You think I'm kidding? I'm not.
So that's not normal. And I interviewed a gentleman who, a military guy, who does a lot of internet work and says, look, I'm not a medical expert, but I did have a father-in-law with dementia that my wife and I took care of him. And part of the latter stages of dementia is they say they don't have a governor. They start saying wildly inappropriate things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you give me your medical evaluation on
this? There's been a lot of the docs that I interact with, we talk about these things from time to time, and I'm not going to share the diagnoses, but there's some very specific diagnoses that are often discussed. You know, if we gave the benefit of the doubt to the gentleman, we might say, go with me for a minute. Let's say he was being self-effacing. Okay, he's making fun of himself. What a nice guy. I mean, we hate Anthony Fauci because he's such a bloody maniacal egotist. So here we have Joe Biden. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He comes down and he wants to loosen up the crowd. And so he tells a little joke that's self-effacing in the beginning of a press conference about shooting children.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is totally inappropriate. However you frame this, it's not appropriate. Okay. You don't come down. That's like with our doctors group, we like to loosen up from time to time. And there's one or two of us that like to have a drink from time to time. And we travel all over the world together, but we don't want the optics of seeming like we're dancing on the grave of people that have died and been damaged by the jab. Yeah. It's just not appropriate.
I concur. And whether it is a sign of mental diminished capacity, or it's just the same old inappropriate, clueless Biden we've always known.
Right.
Either way, I think I'm with you, and
yeah,
I know.
We don't need to go there, but we've all heard the stories of Ashley and everything else. It's just disgusting.
Yeah.
We have an occupier in the White House, as you put it, that if one is a moral person, whether you're left, right, center, up, or down, I don't see how you can be comfortable with this gentleman.
Yeah.
As representing core values for America. I how else do we say it? And then he's totally in with the globalists. He's it's like, you know, and they might as well put the for sale sign in front of the White House, it seems like. right?
No, wait a minute.
The CCP.
It's already bought. It's already bought and paid for. The White House is bought and paid for by Beijing, and we already, and poll after poll after poll shows that Americans believe it. And that's the God's honest truth. Dr. Robert Malone, everybody, internationally recognized scientist in virology and immunology, a bioethicist, an author, and the co-creator of the mRNA technology used in some of the controversial China virus vaccines. Since we brought it up, would you tell folks how they can find your Substack offerings and where they can sign up to get your letters?
Well, that's very kind. And I just want to, I'm really sensitive to grifting. And at this time when COVID is winding down, there's a lot of people that are wondering how they're going to sustain their living. I'm putting this gently. I don't do that. So the Substack is free for everybody. If you want to pay to subscribe, bless your heart, but you don't have to. It's rwmalonemd.substack.com, and it'll come straight into your email inbox, unless you're using a Microsoft product, and then it'll probably go to your junk mail.
which folks, this is why I use a different service other than Microsoft. Doctor, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for the time you carve out for the Salcedo Storm podcast.
It's been my pleasure. I've had a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
And that puts a wrap on this Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me and yourself a favor, folks. A couple of websites I want you to visit. First off, TexasScorecard.com. That's TexasScorecard.com. That's where you actually find real journalism being done in the state of Texas. And the issues facing Texas are issues facing every state in our union. So it is something that all of you should be checking out, no matter where you live. Also check out ChrisSalcedo.com. That's ChrisSalcedo.com. You can go there, drop me an email, drop me a voicemail, find out how to book me for a speech, and track down the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, The Voice of Texas. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. And a simulcast that show is on TNT Radio, heard worldwide. Also find the Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather by how much power is reserved for you and me, we, the people. Stay safe out there, my friends.